Welcome to another exciting edition of the Midweek Connection on KC 107.7. You are listening to Connor Robertson. Today we have our very special guest, Kitsumetse Sisana, the Acting Deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. Today we have a very important discussion, which is relating to the Profile Hijacking Tax Ombudsman Report, which revealed a very sophisticated SARS e-filing fraud. This is an interview that should not be missed. I highly recommend that you stand by. But for now, we're going to listen to some music, we're going to pay some bills, and when we return, we're going to head straight into the interview.
This is KC 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again, you are listening to the Midweek Connection on KC 107.7. I am Connor Robertson. And once again, we do have Kitsumetse Sisana, the acting CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. So, Kitsumetse, thanks for joining us on the Midweek Connection. Let's start.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Let's start. What exactly did the Tax Ombudsman report uncover, this so-called profile hijacking on SARS e-filing?
Thank you so much, Connor. So her detailed report, as we know, was delayed quite a bit because she had allowed SARS additional time to respond or to conduct the internal investigations. But what she did pick up from the report is what taxpayers, practitioners, and RCBs have, you know, long suspected for a while. She uncovered that there are gaps that fraudsters are exploiting, especially when it comes to authentication. She unpacked that this is as a result of weak verification processes that were put in place by SARS. To SARS's credit, they have remedied a lot of the findings that she's made in her report thus far. She also uncovered that there's poor case management. So taxpayers who find themselves victim to such a very sophisticated crime often don't have the support from the revenue services or as quick enough support as is mandated. She also uncovered that the majority of people who are targeted are actually tax practitioners, with individuals also being heavily targeted. PIT and VAT are the tax types that are mostly at risk. And she also uncovered that it appears that although there are bigger amounts of money, appears that, you know, fraudsters are generating false refunds just below the SARS audit trigger tiered level. So they would generate refunds that are below the 10,000 rand threshold, so it doesn't trip up, you know, SARS risk engines. So those are just some of the stuff that she has unpacked in this report.
So when we talk about profile hijacking, what does this mean in plain language? How are taxpayers being targeted?
So profile hijacking is a sophisticated crime where it's a type of digital fraud whereby fraudsters or people who do not have authority to access an e-filing profile of another individual gain this unauthorized access. And they do this by changing login details. Once they're in, they change bank account details, so they circumvent refunds that are genuinely owed to a taxpayer to themselves or to another bank account. They manipulate personal details as well, and they often do this through phishing scams, SIM swaps, and even as brazen as company registration fraud at the CIPC. So it's just criminals who exploit vulnerabilities in systems, and that's why there was the surge of e-filing profile hijacking between 2021 and 24. But over recent times, it has steadied or even decreased, but is still prevalent.
Absolutely. And I know you mentioned CIPC. I know that for a long time, there was a hell of a lot of profile hijacking when it came to the CIPC, especially with some questionable individuals who pretended to be accountants, bookkeepers, and so on. And then when they did the company registration, what they would do is they would essentially obtain the profile, and then, you know, once the client refused to pay or something happened, the relationship broke down, they just refused to give that profile back.
Exactly. So we've had instances where profiles were hijacked, Connor, and you know it's taken SARS up to a year to release that profile back to the rightful owner. And you can imagine what has happened or what can happen in the space of a year. You know, your very livelihood, your very business can crumble to its knees. And it is so brazen at the CIPC level. And I think it touches on how sophisticated this is, because these fraudsters would go as far as, you know, registering or gaining access to the company profile at the CIPC level. They then change the public officer at that level. When that change happens, it triggers a change at SARS, right? That the new public officer is now Kitumisa Sisana. Kitumisa is now the registered representative. I then submit my new information fraudulently, and then I can take over the profile from a SARS perspective and CIPC. So it's all interwoven into, you know, this e-filing profile hijacking and how it is brought or threatened to bring the tax system's integrity to its knees.
It's actually crazy how, I would say, and I would only say this because I understand the system, but how easy it's become.
Exactly. It's become very easy. Remember, as when the commission actually kind of joined the SARS in 2019, he was very vocal in the fact that he seeks to transform SARS into a technologically advanced data-driven revenue authority that leverages AI and digital innovations. And to its credit, SARS has made significant strides. But with any change, you know, comes a certain level of risk or exposure. So driving SARS into this digitally automated data-driven revenue authority has exposed certain weaknesses that fraudsters are always looking for and jumping at in order to rob innocent people.
So let's touch into the next topic. Was this something that people had been warned about, or did the Ombudsman report really expose something new?
So the Ombudsman's report has exposed exactly what we had anticipated. You'd remember when she was given the authority to conduct this this investigation by the minister in August, and she went ahead per her mandate in Section 18. At that time, she had already had meetings with RCBs, for example, in June of that year, and she had already engaged with taxpayers at another engagement in about May 2024. Where taxpayers, ordinary citizens, were all at that public engagement of the tax ombud, and everybody was speaking about how prevalent this is, sharing their examples. So her report didn't really expose anything new, but has amplified the fact that this is a problem. And what we appreciate from her report and her recommendations is that everybody in the tax ecosystem, from taxpayer right up until National Treasury, has to play their part in order to protect the integrity of our tax e-filing system.
So that's quite crazy. And when I think about it, we're just really touching the tip of the iceberg. But what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We're going to listen to some music. And when we return, we're going to go straight into how this fraud works.
This is Gacy 107.7.
And welcome back. So let's start with how the fraud works. The report called it sophisticated fraud. What makes it so advanced compared to typical tax scams?
So it is sophisticated because often these fraudsters use a mix of phishing emails, phishing or scam SMSs, you know, credential leaks, etc. And if you look at the link, if you look at the letter that you might receive, for example, it is a carbon copy of what you would receive from SARS. So as a lay person, you wouldn't really no doubt that this link or this information that is requested is being requested from SARS. So they use a combination of, you know, digital and social engineering tactics such as that to exploit authentication. They leverage off laypersons not being aware of what the SARS would communicate or would not communicate. But it's so intricate that when you look at it as a layperson, you cannot differentiate between the scammer and the SARS. And that's why it's so sophisticated, to the extent that you'd see in the Ombuds report, she also touched on the fact that the SAPS, S-A-P-S, should also step in and investigate. But at times, taxpayers and practitioners have said, when they report this to the SAPS just doesn't know how to deal with it, because it is a digital crime, social engineering. They can't pick up who the person is. The IP addresses are bumping up all the time and popping up in new places. So it really is very, very advanced. It's not a typical scam of, you know, pay me 100 rand and I'll do your return and then just never rock up again. It's so intricately involved that you can hardly pinpoint where this emanates from.
And you know what's crazy? Fraud is actually becoming more and more sophisticated as time goes along. Like, we're no longer just seeing these, I'm going to call them casual fraud. You're actually starting to see instances where it is actually quite, I would say, smart.
Very much so, Connor. And just to go slightly off topic, so I was also a victim of such a phishing scam where my emails were hacked. But the email hack came from a credible government agency. So when I clicked on the link, I had no reasons to believe that it was not from the said person who I have already been communicating with. And I was then subsequently hacked. So that's how sophisticated it is, even with the e-filing profile hijacking, that you can never really discern if you don't have, you know, as a layperson, who you're dealing with. And that's why it's so important, SARS keeps reiterating, that it would never ask for personal details. They will never ask you to disclose your ID number or, you know, your tax number, etc., etc., over an SMS or via an email, which is very important for practitioners and taxpayers to note.
Absolutely. So let's look at who's most at risk here. Is it salary earners? Is it small businesses? I know we mentioned CIPC, or is it higher income taxpayers?
So everybody's at risk here. You would have noted from the report about 48.3% of those who were targeted or affected. So nearly 50% who are at risk are actually tax practitioners. And at times, tax practitioners deal with smaller clients, they deal with individuals, they deal with businesses. It ranges from end to end. So everybody's at risk. The Ombud in a recent engagement actually mentioned that, you know, businesses have also, you know, been affected by this. And actually it's off the back of an article that came out a couple of months ago where a business was defrauded about 20 million rand of a refund that was circumvented as a result of their profile having been hijacked. She also picked up that the largest single amount per her current report was about 5 million rand of a business that was, you know, defrauded of their legitimate refund. So it's end to end. It's ordinary salaried employees or earners, small businesses, and even high income taxpayers can all be affected by e-filing profile hijacking.
So let's look at the early warning signs. What are the early warning signs that your e-filing profile might have been hijacked?
So unexplained changes to your profile or banking details. It's very important for you to look at that RAVL 1 and to understand what you have maintained as your details. So if you are suddenly picking up that, you know, banking details have changed, or, you know, your information there as you have inputted it has changed, that's an early warning sign that your e-filing profile has been compromised. If you're receiving as part of the two-factor authentication an OTP to alert you to actions that you did not initiate, nor did your tax practitioner initiate, then you need to know that you're possibly being in the process of being hijacked. If you're suddenly unable to access your profile, that's a clear signal that it has been hijacked. And one of the biggest ones is if you have filed your return and you are aware that a refund is due to you within the 21 days, is now day 28 and you still have not received your refund, there was no stopper, there was no verification on your on your return, that's a clear sign that you might have been, one of the signs that you might have been possibly hijacked, because refunds are usually circumvented. And then obviously notifications of multiple login attempts from unfamiliar locations, that's a big one, or even devices is another one. And then just receiving communication from sales about transactions that you have no knowledge of. So that is just some warning signs that you might possibly be in the process of being hijacked.
You know, it's quite crazy because it sounds similar to your online banking sort of hijacking. It really, if I think about it, it really, when you were speaking about some of the early signs, it felt a lot like, you know, when your online banking gets hijacked, because similar things happen. And it's so crazy that let's call them what they are. Criminals have went from online banking fraud and hijacking to actual taxation, like taxation fraud. It's just, it blows my mind just to think about how they went from one to the other.
And it's very important. You raise an excellent point now that, you know, calling them exactly what they are, criminals. Criminals are always looking for the next, you know, where they can get the next easy buck. This is their job. Their job is to wake up and scam people. So if they figured out that they can now no longer rob a person because people no longer carry cash, they find alternative ways of doing it. So they've now picked up that, you know, SARS e-filing is a way to rob people as well. So quite unfortunate. In fact, Connor, the Ombud actually raised in a recent interview that SARS, per their records, have reimbursed taxpayers who've been defrauded to the tune of about 21 million rand. So Connor was to receive the refund and didn't receive it. He reports to SARS. SARS pays you anyway. So SARS actually is duplicating the payments. So e-filing profile hijacking strips the fiscus of money that's due to it, because now SARS is paying twice on an amount that they should have paid once. So it's a problem for the whole nation and not just for a few.
Absolutely. And that definitely should have a knock-on effect if we think about it, because it's not small money we're talking about.
It's definitely not small money we're talking about. Although what the fraudsters do, and it speaks again to the sophistication question you asked earlier, they have picked up the SARS risk engines. Don't flag or put automatic stoppers on refunds that are above a certain threshold. So perhaps above 10,000, 15,000, you know, if it's a VAT refund, then there's, you know, verifications that usually happen in that space. So the risk engines have been engineered or geared to have those tripwires in place. So what the Ombud picked up in her report is that the fraudsters would generate refunds, you know, file fraudulent returns that will ensure that the refund amount is just below the SARS tripwire or risk detection engine. So it doesn't flag it, it doesn't stop it. So it shows you just how sophisticated, because this has to be a tax person who's doing this, because you need to know what amounts you input so that you can get a refund at what, you know, threshold. So it really is quite a concerning matter.
What's bringing my attention now is obviously the person who is, you know, engaging in such activity must have some level of tax expertise. Now, correct. My question is, or my thought goes to, if such tax practitioner, professional is caught of such activities, how that would obviously, we know what would happen to that professional, but how that would go going forward.
There was actually a court case recently in the Cape Town, the Western Cape Division of the High Court, and there was a gentleman there, if memory serves me correct, his name was Farid, and he was actually imprisoned to 3 years direct imprisonment, sentenced to 3 years direct imprisonment, because he had defrauded SARS. It was a minor amount, I think about 60,000 or so. Right. So SARS is on the lookout for people that are doing these sort of things, hijacking profiles, you know, robbing the fiscus, essentially robbing all of us, Connor, as we sit and listen to this interview. And measures such as that can be taken, put in place, because it is a criminal offense. Theft and fraud are criminal offenses. But it's exactly what you're saying. I've also, you know, ventured the opinion that people who do this understand tax, because tax is such a... it's a discipline that one needs to study and understand in order to get a certain response or ending, you know, a conclusion. And a person that can generate a refund that stays just below, you know, the threshold of SARS risk engines being set off is someone who understands the Income Tax Act inter alia.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a breather, we're going to listen to some music, and when we return, we're going to get back into this interview.
This is Casey 107.7.
And welcome back. Once again, you're listening to The Midweek Connection. I am Connor Robertson, and we have our special guest, Kitsumetse Sasana, the Acting Deputy CEO of the South African Institute of Taxation. So we're heading into the interview where we're going to start talking about accountability and response with regards to this Ombudsman report. How could something like this happen on a platform as secure as e-filing? Is there a weakness SARS needs to fix?
Excellent question. And it does make a lot of people upset. I just need to go back to when the commissioner announced the preliminary results in April this year, and he, one of the strategic objectives that he placed there is to say that they want to be more data-driven, you know, use more AI, but he also spoke about the operating environment within which SARS operates, and you touched on it too, Connor. We live in a crime-ridden country, crime-ridden world, so this type of cybercrime is not unique to South Africa. It's actually, you know, also being seen globally, this sort of criminal activity, and SARS is not immune to it. The reality is that no financial institution, including SARS, is so immune. Yes, you as a tax practitioner know how difficult it is to get into a profile, so you would assume that something like this should not even be happening. But it happens because certain authentication and verification or detection systems have gaps. That is why SARS, you know, there was the initial verification, you put in your password and your login details, but there now is a two-factor, so an OTP that is sent, you know, that was introduced around November 2024 after the ombudsman jumped in on this particular issue. So it happens to any platform, and it is clearly happening to SARS as well. But SARS is responding. For example, they made two-factor authentication mandatory going forward. You'll see in the Ombuds report that she's saying that it should be mandatory across the board, even retrospectively. They've introduced biometric verification, so you actually have to have your face there, and real-time monitoring. So SARS is fixing these weaknesses because they realize that, okay, having an OTP, they still are circumvented through SIM swaps, and, you know, refunds are stolen anyway. So they went further for verification of your actual face. But there's still some weaknesses in the system that needs to be fixed. And unfortunately, those weaknesses are only identified as a new crime evolves. Then we're aware of the weakness, because criminals are very creative people.
So when you talk about the two-part authentication, I can already tell you that, I mean, based on me being a tax practitioner in good standing, I already saw how difficult it became as just a general tax practitioner just to get into other taxpayers' profile, because what ended up happening is at a time a few clients were saying to me they don't really want me as a tax practitioner to take the profile. They would rather have the profile stay on their e-filing. And you know what, when that two-part authentication came in, that also assisted me in the sense of where having such access to that information became an issue, because let's be fair, with that two-part authentication, when you go into somebody's profile, having the client on hand is not always possible. So it helped me, but I can definitely see how those steps that SARS has taken in in the meantime, how that's going to improve things further.
Yes, and you'll see from the joint state, the media statement that SARS released earlier last week, they said that most of the recommendations in the tax ombuds report have already been implemented, such as your two-part authentication. But that also throws off things a bit, Connor, because as you're saying, some of our practitioners would say it takes quite a while for that, you know, that OTP to come through. If the profile is sitting with your client, you're waiting for the OTP to come through or to go through to them, they don't get it in time, you then have to regenerate the OTP, it then delays to get to the person. So it really does, you know, delay your workday in totality. But that is just part of, you know, what SARS has put in place to make sure that the people that are accessing the profile are correct. You'd also remember that at the height of e-filing profile hijacking, SARS restricted tax practitioners from updating security details on behalf of clients, even if they had a valid power of attorney, to ensure that only the right person can modify e-filing details. You know, they started restricting taxpayers from registering for e-filing if their contact details were already linked to another e-file profile, which was also classified as fraudulent behavior from a SARS perspective, and many tax practitioners were then locked out of their profiles on the 31st of May last year. So they've looked at certain things to try and secure profiles and the weaknesses in the systems that criminals can't exploit it.
And this is honestly so important. Like we've said, I feel like we're, as South Africans, I had an interview last week with a Mrs. South Africa finalist, and the one thing that I've constantly picked up is that South Africa, year by year by year, is becoming more, not, I wouldn't say immune, but it's almost like a numbness to crime. Like, we understand that it's around us, like we're aware that it's around us, but it only occurs when it occurs to us. So it's so crazy, because I've had in-laws who have had banking hijacked, like their e-filing, their online banking has been hijacked. I've had that happen to family, but I feel like it only resonates with you once you feel it yourself.
Correct. And that's why, you know, in a recent interview by the Ombuds, she has said that SARS actually noted that they only receive about 387 cases, you know, on the issue monthly. They've cumulatively only received about 15,968. So for them, if you look at the totality of the taxpaying population and the profiles that they handle, this is not really a major issue. It's but a drop in the ocean. But the commissioner did say that one profile that is compromised is one too many. But it's exactly that numbness that, oh, it's only 387 on a monthly basis. I wasn't hijacked, so it's fine. But it goes back to what we said earlier, that SARS reimburses fraudulent refunds that were fraudulently circumvented. That means your taxpayer money, as opposed to going to improving services, is now being paid back twice to someone who already should have received, you know, the refund. So we all lose at the end of the day.
Honestly, like, my only one recommendation that I would give to SARS is, you know, with the two-part authentication, or when you are busy with transferring the profile, if you could make that OTP last for like 5 minutes, or honestly 15 minutes, I would be happier as a professional. I won't lie.
Yeah, because that thing is instantaneous. And if your client is not on hand to authenticate it and give you the number, you then have to regenerate again.
Absolutely.
It does make things very, very difficult, but it's just part of securing e-filing.
Absolutely. So let's look at impact and recovery. What is the first steps that someone should take when they have had their profile hijacked? Who do they report it to, and how long does it usually take to resolve?
Very important. As an RCB has said, you're welcome to escalate that through to us, and we will then escalate on your behalf to SARS. Alternatively, you can directly report this to the Cybercrimes Task Team at SARS. you know, to say, listen, my profile has been compromised and I need assistance. The real life impact is that obviously there's financial loss. I mean, if you can just imagine, Connor, if you as a business are expecting to get a 20 million rand refund to keep your business afloat and you don't get that money, that has a replica of detrimental circumstances that can happen to you. But it is taking, so the first step is reported to your RCB, reported to SARS. And then, unfortunately, the ombuds picked up that SARS appears to be taking on average about 150 days to get back to the victim in terms of process and in terms of how far they are with, you know, investigating the hijacking of the profile and getting the profile released back to the rightful owner, which is part of the issues that tax practitioners and taxpayers were complaining about, that the communication from SARS is very few and far between and far too slow if you have experienced something like this, because you need, you know, instantaneous communication so you can access your profile again. Because as a tax practitioner, you have multiple clients. That means all their data is now also at risk the longer SARS takes. So we hope that SARS will take the recommendations from the Ombud per this report and shorten that resolution time.
So my final question would be, what can tax practitioners or employers do to protect their clients and staff?
Use unique credentials for each user. Definitely enable the two-factor authentication and biometric security. Monitor your activity on your e-filing profile at all times, not just when it is tax filing season. So understand what's going on in your profile. Be very vigilant about any phishing scams or digital, you know, SMS scams. If you as a practitioner are not sure or taxpayer are not sure, ask around in the practitioner fraternity. Ask your RCB, is this genuine? Or even ask SARS if you have to. And then if you need to, engage with the RCB or engage with SARS that you understand what is best practice in terms of protecting your information as well as that of your client. Because what the OTO has recommended in a report, Connor, as I said, ranges all the way from taxpayers, you know, use strong passwords, monitor your e-filing profile, all the way up to the National Treasury, which is proposing certain amendments to the Tax Administration Act. So we all have to play our part in order to keep the integrity of our e-filing system.
Absolutely. And honestly, I felt like this conversation was much needed and super enlightening. Thank you so much for your time and your insight. I really do appreciate it. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. We hope you found today's discussion valuable, and we'll see you same time, same place. God bless.
Thank you so much, Connor.
This is Casey 107.7.